So Pastor Larson and I were discussing on what I should preach next. And I had already been writing this one, and I told him I was working on one on fellowship. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is fellowship. And I thought it was a good thing. I thought it was a good thing to focus on in the new year, as it's something that's been on my heart, but it's also a good New Year's resolution. You see, all these other things are great. Getting skinny, you know, stuff like that, it's really great. But growing in the Lord is far greater. And one of the premier ways we do that, and we can do that, is by gathering with our church family, by entering into fellowship with each other, right? So I told him I was going to talk about this, and I said I was going to title it Fellowship. And being the kind of nerdy guy that Pastor Larson is, and he's not here, so I can say that. He said, well, you should do a Lord of the Rings trilogy. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing, if you notice in your bulletins, it's called not just Fellowship, but it's The Fellowship. Because it's, you know, the Fellowship of the Ring. And then the next one I'm doing, and I've already written most of it, is The Tale of Two Towers, which we'll see. And then I'll do Return of the King, which you guys can kind of guess what that's about. But we're going to have the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It, as I am a bit, you know, nerdy myself, as I hate to admit it. So I loved the idea. But anyways, as you know, lots of things have changed since COVID. But unfortunately, one of the things that drastically changed the most is people finding that it is okay, or feeling that it's okay, to simply skip church and watch an online service. People got particularly in their 30s, so the ages, statistically speaking, between 30 and 49, this was particularly the case. They found it to be more often than any of the other age groups, that they found that it's okay to watch online church. I know it's cozy in your pajamas with a cup of coffee, but being at church is important. And it's particularly problematic that the ages 30 through 49 came up with this or started doing this because, one, this age group, and I'm part of it, so I know, can make it into church, right? Don't get me wrong, online church services are wonderful for people who can't make it in the church. Maybe you're sick, maybe you're older and you're shut in, whatever the case may be. If you can't make it in church, then online services are a tremendous blessing to that demographic. But this demographic, my demographic, we're generally able to make it into church. And this is actually problematic for a second reason, that this is the very age group that happens to be raising kids. Generally speaking, obviously, if your kids see you put a low emphasis on church and church attendance, your kids will put an even lower emphasis on church when they grow up. If your kids see you, generally speaking, view church as optional, they will often view it as unnecessary. So that's a problem. Right? So that's what we're going to talk about today, the importance of church, and not just the importance of church, but the importance of fellowship. And I think this is especially prudent to talk about in the new year. Let this be the year that you grow in the Lord more than any other previously. And the big part of our spiritual growth is us serving and growing as a church family. So please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I will start reading in verse 19. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. We're going to particularly focus on verses 24 and 25. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word. Help me as I preach, Lord, and help us to grow as the church family. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the Bible, right here in Hebrews, we just read it, tells us to not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. So there you go. Right? End of sermon. Let's sing our last hymn and close our sermon. No. That's all it should take, though, right? That's all it should take is we read it plainly. The Bible plainly tells us to do it, and that's all it should take to change us. These sermons would be a lot shorter, especially Pastor Larson's, right? I hope he's watching. I don't know. But in all seriousness, the Bible plainly says it, and we should take that to heart. And before we really get into it, let's give a little bit of context here. As the name Hebrews implies, this book of our Bible is a letter written to early Jewish believers, to Jews that became followers of Christ. And these Jewish believers were facing increased persecution. Their family, if they have joined the church, to leave the church. They likely saw other believers get thrown into prison, right? Many of them would have been excommunicated from their synagogues. Life was probably not easy for them. Their decision to follow Christ was not one that made them popular with the people around them. So you can see why it would have been tempting for them to abandon the faith, to neglect meeting together. It would have been tempting. They were facing all sorts of persecution. The people they grew up with, the people they cared about most, were often the ones pressuring them to leave the faith. That said, there were likely plenty of people who appeared to believe at the time. Maybe they were attracted to the message or some aspect of church life. But as soon as these social pressures came on them, they began appearing to fall away. Our verse that we're focusing on this morning even alludes to this, where it says, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. So this is what the first readers of this letter were going through. This is what they were dealing with. But what about the context in our letter? The writer of Hebrews just got done explaining the superiority of Jesus' superiority over the Mosaic law, and then they begin to explain to their readers how they must remain faithful to Jesus for the rest of their lives. So that is where we find ourselves. Basically, our author is saying, okay, now you believe, now you're followers of Christ, here is how you live like one. And specifically in our text, the author is talking about how we are to be as a church, as a body of believers. And this is super important because the fact of the matter is we need each other. I've heard many excuses over the years for why someone doesn't go to church. In fact, at this point, I think I may have heard them all, right? If you come up to me and have an excuse for why you haven't been going to church or you're not attending a different church, whatever the case may be, fact of the matter is I've probably heard that one before. In fact, at this point, if you're making an excuse that I haven't heard before, I would almost be impressed. I'd be like, oh, okay. You know, there are plenty of excuses out there for not going to church, and none of them are good enough. You should be attending a good gospel-preaching church. Rest assured, we are all busy. I hate to break it to you, but if that's your excuse, we're all busy. We all have things to do. We have all also been hurt. We've been hurt by people in the church at one time or another. I promise you that. And yes, the people in every single church are incredibly imperfect. That's why we're here. But the fact of the matter is, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, you better love the church. Throughout the scriptures, the church is described as the bride of Christ. And I would dare not say I truly love the groom if I do not also love the groom's bride. And as John Wesley put it, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. So let's get into our text. The first thing we see in our text is to stir each other up. We are to stir each other up to love and good works. One article I was reading when I was preparing this compared us to microscopic organisms in Mosquito Bay, Puerto Rico. It did. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mosquito Bay in Puerto Rico, but if you go there and you go kayaking or paddleboarding or whatever, and you go out on the water, you might notice something pretty interesting happening behind you. You might see the water glowing. That's because as you paddle, there are microscopic organisms in there that at nighttime, as you paddle, light up as they're stirred. As they're disturbed, they light up. You can look it up online. It's pretty cool. It'll show like a path lighting up behind you as you kayak. Well, we as a church need to be the same. We need to stir each other up and thereby lighting each other up. That's what we see here in verse 24. But what does this mean? What does this look like? What does this look like in real life to stir each other up? Well, it looks like us encouraging one another. It looks like us encouraging one another to serve the Lord in various ways. A good example of this happened, pretty sure it was right back there, approximately 20 years ago. I saw some of my friends, my older friends, Christian and Adam and others, serving the Lord. I saw them helping out with youth group. And I remember I went up to Christian, I'm pretty sure it was right back there, and I said to him, hey, is there any way I could get in on this? I was only in 11th grade, but I was like, I see these older guys, I want to be like them, I want to be living like them, can I help out with youth group? And so I'm pretty sure he said something like, sure, you can do games, or something like that. And guess what? We're still doing those same games 20 years later. But in all seriousness, that is 20 years of my life that was dramatically impacted by other guys I saw older than me growing in the Lord, serving the Lord. That's 20 years of my life that I probably wouldn't be up here preaching right now because of that 20 years ago being stirred up by them. Sometimes stirring each other up happens when one of us reads something or watches a video on something biblically that we find to be really great, that really works in our lives, that we want to share it with others. We need to share that sort of stuff with each other. We need to be like ants finding food in regards to that. Have you ever fed ants? I used to love doing this. I've seen Logan do it. It's fun. Put sugar or whatever on the outside of an ant hill, put like a gummy bear out there. One little ant comes up and you see the little ant like smell it or whatever they do. I don't really know what they do. And then they run back and they get all their friends. And all of a sudden you see all those ants marching right up and eating that gummy bear or whatever you put out there. Now I've also seen people trick ants, and that's mean. You shouldn't trick ants. There's videos of people, they'll put like a gummy bear out there. The one little ant will come running up, see it, go back to get his friends, and then they pick up the gummy bear, and all their friends come, and they're looking for the gummy bear. That's mean. I don't recommend. Feel bad for these ants. No, that's mean. You know, we don't want to trick ants. But in all seriousness, we need to be like that. When you read something good, when you hear something good, when you hear a good message, we should be sharing it with each other, helping each other grow in the Lord, stirring one another up. Sometimes stirring one another up looks like you going up to a brother or sister in Christ and correcting them. And that's not fun, but sometimes it's necessary. Maybe, just to be on topic, you know someone who's a follower of Christ, but they've been neglecting to go to church. Stir them up, right? Lovingly explain to them the importance of being at church, of being a part of the body of believers and encourage them to get back on the horse. That's stirring one another up. The inverse to this, though, that happens all too often, is we have to also be careful not to discourage one another. We must be careful not to put each other down. Nothing brings someone down who's serving the Lord, someone who's likely volunteering their time, putting their blood, sweat, and tears into whatever ministry, only to then have someone in their church complain about how they're doing something because it's not up to their preferences or whatever. That brings each other down. And it's happened to every one of us if you've been serving in the church for any amount of time. We need to be a church that stirs each other up and not knock each other down. That said, you cannot do this if you aren't building relationships in the church. I've had many people complain to me over the years that they don't feel connected to people at their church, whether it's this church or another church. And sometimes these cases are super legitimate, don't get me wrong. But then often, not every time, obviously, but often when you ask these people who are complaining about these things what they do when, you know, church is over, they'll likely tell you, well, I leave. And then I usually ask something, so do you stick around after, maybe get coffee downstairs and talk with people? Because we have coffee downstairs, by the way, plug for that downstairs. They'll answer no. Do you go to small groups or anything of that sort? Well, no. Do you go to your church's prayer meeting or Sunday school? Well, no. So what do you do to get connected? Well, nothing. And I always say, well, okay then. You know, you can't be connected and stirred up if you aren't actually making an attempt to be a part of your church family. Now, this is not always the case. Sometimes there are churches that truly, including us, we can be guilty of this as well. We truly don't connect with people as we should, but more often than not, that is the case. You probably could have done more to be connected if you were honest with yourself. And if you look back on that time of your life, and I know this from my own experience, if I look back at my life at times when I wasn't connected as much as I should have been, it was the case that I also could have to be more of an effort to be connected. So put yourself into positions to be connected, to be stirred up. And I understand there are introverts here. I get that. Introverts who you maybe don't want to connect the way extroverts do. And I understand. But you are still called to be a part of the church body. You are still called to stir each other up. These verses still apply to even you. You may not be called to be one of the greeters on Sunday morning, but you still have a role to play. You still have spiritual gifts that are meant for building up the church. So find your roles and do them all to the glory of God. Stir each other up. And you definitely can't do this if you are neglecting to go to church, as is the next part of our verse, where it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. I alluded to this before, but this has become a far greater problem since COVID. During COVID, when everything shut down, people got far too used to waking up in their pajamas, getting their cup of coffee, and watching a church service on their phone or on their computer. And I get it. It's nice to be cozy. It's nice to be cozy and in your pajamas with a cup of coffee. And there is a lot of great teaching out there online. Online, you can listen to some really wonderful sermons. I listen to them all the time, especially by my man, R.C. Sproul, who I'm constantly talking about. I'm keenly aware that there are many better preachers than myself who you could be listening to right now. I mean, heck, sometimes I'll listen to R.C. Sproul say something that I've said before, and I think to myself, like, man, why couldn't I have said it like that? You know? So I would encourage you to listen to preaching like that, but not at the expense of your attendance in church. You cannot grow properly as a Christian if you are not a part of the body of Christ. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 12:27, Now you are a body of Christ and individually members of it. It's like any other part of a person's body. The body will not function as it should if it's missing part of it. If my right hand suddenly fell off, popped off, and was on the floor right there, you know, I certainly wouldn't function as I should. I would certainly become a much worse basketball player if my hand just popped off and fell on the floor. And what would happen to my hand that suddenly fell off and is on the floor? Well, it would shrivel up. It would be dead. It's the same thing for a believer and the church. The church needs all of its parts to function at its best. And if you are in Christ, you have a role to play. And if you are cut off from the church, like my poor right hand over there, you aren't going to grow as you should. In fact, you are likely going to begin decaying, like my hand all shriveled up over there. How's that for a visual? Is that good? Enough with the severed hand, I suppose. But it's true. And I've seen it hold true time and time again in people's lives. Never once have I seen someone quit going to church regularly grow in the Lord, or at least not grow in the Lord as they should. Even the ones who tell me they're watching church online. Never once have I met them in the streets and thought to myself, man, they're way more godly than they were when they were going to church. I'm so glad they quit. You know, that's never entered into the fray. It never works that way because that's not how the Lord designed things to work. So don't trick yourself into thinking you can be some sort of lone wolf Christian, because you can't. You need the church. You need to be at church to function and grow in the Lord as you should. And I would argue this verse applies to other gatherings as well, not just Sunday morning services. Times like prayer meeting, where we share our praises and prayer requests and then bring them before the Lord in prayer together. Excuse me. A time when you know, I know you're not supposed to pick favorite services, but I think that might actually be my favorite service of the week. Words cannot express what it means to me when I share something that's been on my heart throughout the week at my prayer request, and I get to hear a brother or sister in the Lord pray over me and pray for my prayer request. That's a wonderful time of fellowship. And then we have times like our various small groups where we get to dive into the Word together, to be in the Word, to pray together. Then we have times like for our teens with our youth groups where they get to grow together and have fellowship with one another. There are many opportunities to gather together. And if you aren't engaging in at least one or two of them outside of the Sunday service, you're really missing out. And I would encourage you to change that this year. Change that in 2026. And then the author of Hebrews comes back to a similar point to the one they started out with in telling us to encourage one another, where he says, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. You guys, this life can be really hard. Throughout the week, the world throws at us is contrary to the Bible. We go to work throughout the week, and we are surrounded by this broken world, a world that desperately wants us to join them because misery loves company, a world that is incredibly hopeless. But the good news there is we then get to tell them about the hope that is in us. But throughout the week, we are inundated with sin. We see our faith mocked on TV and in society. We hear our Savior's name, who suffered and died on the cross for our sins. We hear his name be used like a curse word. But then we get to be with our church family. We get a break from the world. We get to be with the people we are most like-minded with, the people we have the most in common with, or at least we have the most important detail of our lives in common with. And we should be careful to use that time together wisely, to use that time together to encourage one another, to build each other up. Because we know, when we know we're about to go back into that hostile world, a hostile world that's moving further and further from the Word of God. A world that doesn't fear the Lord so much so that they've strayed so far from the truth that much of it doesn't even believe in truth anymore. A world that is clearly moving closer and closer to that day that is drawing near, as the author of Hebrews, Jesus. And rest assured, that day is coming. Jesus will return. Whether in the near future or 100 years from now, it is coming. By the looks of things, my money would be on the near. But we don't know. Regardless, our individual days are drawing near. We don't know when that day will come, but we will all eventually die. We will all stand before the Lord in judgment. And when that day comes, we will not look back on our lives and think to ourselves, man, I really regret all the things I did for the Lord, all the ways in which I grew, all the ways in which I grew with my church family. When that day comes, we won't look back on our lives and think to ourselves, man, I wish I spent less time with my church family living for the Lord. Quite the opposite. As we prepare to meet our Savior, we will wish we had done so much more. So we need to encourage one another. Stir each other up to do the good works that the Lord has prepared for us to do. And to do that, we need to actually be together. We need to spend time together to get to know each other, to build relationships with each other so that we can better encourage one another and better build each other up, to love each other. And when we do that properly, rest assured, the world will notice, just as Jesus said it would in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And when they notice it, they will often want to know why we are the way we are, why we love each other this way. And then you get to tell them about our Savior who first loved us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our church family, Lord, but we confess that we have so much work to do here, Lord. We need to grow in this. We need to encourage one another better, to build each other up better, Lord. Help us to be a church that truly loves one another, that truly looks for ways to serve you and glorifies you in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, could I please have the elders come forward for the Lord's Supper. As we go into the Lord's Supper, if you are here today, if you're here this morning and you haven't yet prepared, you're not yet prepared for that day that I talked about, the day that is drawing near, you haven't yet turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior who died on the cross for the sins of all who would believe and rose again on the third day. If you haven't yet done that, please let the plates pass by you and instead take this time to consider the things you heard today. Let today be the day you do, in fact, turn from your sins and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And myself or one of the elders you see sitting here after the service would be happy to talk to you more about that. And if you are here and you are a believer, examine yourselves. Whether or not you have unconfessed sins so that you don't take it in an unworthy manner in accordance with 1 Corinthians 11:27-28. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, Lord, help our hearts and minds be right with you, Lord. Help us to glorify you through the rest of our day as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.